Tuesday at 7:30 is our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning is our little one. 7:30 in the evening is the ladies' fellowship. And I've been encouraged. Yes, Colin, I can see you. I've been encouraged for you to all maybe to lift one of these wee invites here. They're on the bookcase at the back. So the visiting speaker is Sarah Coates, and that's from the Cythera Foundation. It's a Christian organisation eager to meet the needs of individuals and families in need of support. So it should be a good night. If you lift one of those and invite your friends along, that'll be good. Thursday at 6:15 is the Abbots Cross Boys Club. Just for information, the tent Sunday last week, the collection amounted to £2,726, and that will go to our own missionaries and workers. So again, thank you for your generous giving. And in terms of the roof repair fund, it sits at £7,515, and we said we'd remind you on the first of every month, so that's what we're doing. Preliminary announcement for the Trailblazers Holiday Bible Club, which will run between the 20th and the 24th of June. Haven't run our Trailblazers since 2019, so this is another opportunity to win the boys and girls for the Lord. So we want as many people as possible to be involved in that. So if you see Andrew Cuthbert, if you didn't see him this morning, see him tonight, and get your name down for that. That should be good. I've an announcement in terms of COVID, which I read this morning. Again, I'll read tonight just in case anybody was sleeping. For information, on the 22nd of April, the government stopped doing contact tracing of positive cases in the community. So people will no longer be notified if they were in close contact to a COVID positive person in gatherings at our church. Okay, because of that, and because of the latest relaxations, the deacons met during the week and agreed to remove some further disruptive measures from our services. So from the 22nd of May, which is 3 weeks' time, there will be no distance seating in the church services. Therefore, there will be no need for a weekly booking-in system and no need to use the minister's room for arrival. No need to wait on the deacons advising you when to leave the building. Wearing of masks are at the discretion of the individual. Hand sanitizers will still be available. Offerings will still be collected via the boxes at the exits. And this will also be the same in terms of our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Just to say, if anybody has any concerns over that or want to discuss it further, if you see Andrew Cuthbert, and he'll gather everybody's comments and maybe feedback to the Diagnet in the next couple of weeks. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
Good evening. We're glad that you're here this evening to join us for this part of the service for your praise and worship. And if you're joining us online, you're very welcome as well. So the first song that we're going to sing tonight is "And Can It Be?" And I'm sorry, but you've been sitting for 2 years to sing, so if we could all stand, please. Thank you.
sing that song with gusto. I'm sure you can. The words of it are absolutely tremendous. The next song that we're going to sing is called I Hear the Saviour Say. And you know, our lives are just completely marred by sin. And perhaps tonight that's where you find yourself, because you have never placed your trust in the Lord Jesus. But his blood can cleanse each one of us from our sin. And he is the one that looks after us. So we're going to sing tonight, I Hear the Saviour Say, Thy Strength Indeed Is Small. And I will let you sit for this one, because the last one was quite long.
Cornerstone, and he deserves all our honour, all our praise, and all our worship. And Sharon was a bit soft on you, so can you stand again, please, for this one?
It's just good to be in amongst those that are worshiping and lifting up God. And I was thinking, it is the only faith, isn't it, that really has a song in our hearts, isn't it? Isn't it true that when the psalmist said he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God? It's good to have this note of praise and worship to God for what he has done for us. I want to plug one or two little things just to say that on Tuesday night, we are in our prayer meeting and Bible study. We finished on chapter 8 last Tuesday, and we were thinking then of the rebuilding of God's people. That's what God has done, through the preaching and the understanding of his word. So we're into chapter 9 now. Not only do we see the preaching and the faithful preaching and the fearless preaching of God's word and revival and the obedience of God's people to that, but now we move into the matter of prayer. And so prayer and revival is chapter 9, and that's where we will be. Can I encourage you to come along? There's plenty of seating. We had over 120, 130 seats out last week, so there's plenty of time, plenty of seats if you want to be distanced, and there are also distant seats there at this time, but there's plenty of room to over the hall for that, so do please put that in your notebook and make sure that you plan to be along. Don't stay in the old bad habit of staying in the restrictions. Get back into the habit of being in God's house with God's people as we meet together. And then on the 5th of June, we are having a baptism service. Already about 4 people who have indicated their desire to go through the waters of baptism. Is that something that you've been thinking about? Can we encourage you to get to see me or Andrew? And I am also planning a praise night some Sunday night. I haven't landed on the date yet, but if you've got a favourite hymn, what I'd like you to do is write it down, put your name on that hymn, and then we'll have a wee look at it, and we'll include it on the night, and there'll be a little epilogue at the end of that worship and praise service. So what I would like you to do is, I would like you to write down your favourite hymn, think about it, write it down, put your name on it, and then we will try and see, can we sing them all on that particular night. A praise night, getting back into the house of God. There's Eleanor... what's your name? Eleanor Annette, that's right. Eleanor Annette said, at the beginning of 2 years ago, whenever we get back into the house of God, we'll have a prayer service. Well, this is about as near as we can do so, and we think that we could possibly do it on some of the Sunday nights in the not too distant future, just to praise God. He brought us through. He brought us through. It was hard, difficult, but he brought us through. Just also, I neglected to say that Gail McCulloch got home from hospital, and she's uncomfortable, she's recovering, and we're thankful to God that he's brought her through safely through her operation, and so we're thankful to God for that. Now let's bow together in prayer as we commit our gathering to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity of being here together this evening, just to sing your praises and to be amongst the people of God and to rub shoulders with those of like faith and like mind and like spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your gracious hand upon us, for your mercies which are new every morning, your faithfulness which never ends. Thank you, Lord, for the love of God which is passes all understanding. And so, Lord, we pray that as we gather together, giving God thanks, yet again for another individual who got safely through their operation. Thank you for Gail's recovery. And we pray, dear God, that you will make a full and complete and speedy recovery. We ask, Lord, for those who are facing challenges this week that we know nothing about and people are not likely to share those challenges. We ask that tonight, Lord, that you will encourage such. Help them to see light in their darkness. Help them to see that cloud that leads them through the blaze of tribulation and trouble. Help them, Lord, to know the warming glows of the fire that led the children of Israel from Egypt through the wilderness. Thank you, Lord, for the gracious Shekinah glory that comes in the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to us. And, Lord, leads and guides us and encourages and inspires us just to keep our eye on Jesus. You never lead us astray. You have never led us away. But, oh God, we thank you. You lead us through. Now, Father, we pray your blessing upon those perhaps in this gathering who know not Christ. Lord, it would be a wonderful thing to know at the end of this meeting someone will have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Lord, for your people, encourage and inspire. For those, Lord, who cannot be with us this evening, Lord, we ask that you'll meet them at the very point of their need. There are those, Lord, that their names are written on our hearts tonight. You know who they are. We know who they are. And we ask, Lord, that you will visit them in their homes, and may they know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Will you be amongst us tonight, Father? Would you be one of our number? May our hearts be greatly warmed as you come and meet with us at the point of our need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask, hand back to Sharon and Louise, and they're going to lead us in our next song before we turn to God's Word. Thank you.
Okay, the last hymn is one that you really know. So we're all going to stand and sing, "Would You Be Free From Your Burden of Sin?" And don't be afraid to clap.
About the Lord. If you've got a Bible, then I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Genesis in chapter 28. I'm sure you've read over this passage a few times since I announced it on Tuesday night that I was going to be speaking on Jacob's ladder. So it's Genesis in chapter 28, reading from verse 10 to verse 19. Just to bring you into the picture, in the story of Jacob's ladder, we find a marvelous revelation about salvation and the ongoing care and comfort that the Lord offers to his people. Genesis is a seedbed of all biblical doctrine. We have marvelous spiritual gems and truths given in symbol and in type in the book. There are a few gems in this account, as I discovered when I was studying. You know, nature forms us, sin deforms us, education informs us, penitentiaries try to reform us, but only Jesus can transform us. And only Jesus can transform the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in from time to time. And if you would like to be transformed, if you'd like the circumstance in which you find yourself to be transformed, or if you know those who are in situations that need some change or transformation, then this is a great story that we're going to look at. The Old Testament says somebody's coming. The New Testament said somebody has come. Revelation says somebody's coming again. And all of the scriptures are about the Lord Jesus. If you're running away from an issue or a situation, then the Lord wants to meet you and reassure you and strengthen you in your journey. Jesus can transform the situation that you may be facing. You do not have to go through it alone, and it might be an opportunity for him to transform you in that situation. That's what we learn from in this story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob was the one who was transformed. Let's read together from Genesis chapter 28. We're going to read from verse 10 and to verse 19. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder sat up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. That was a revelation for Jacob. I'm with thee. He's on the run. He's in darkness. He's in the desert. He's in despair. He's concerned. He's worried. He's panicking. He's running for his life. And yet God says, I am with thee. He's not saying, I will be with you. He didn't say, I was with you. He says, I am with thee. That's wonderful. I am with thee. And behold, I am with thee, and will bring thee, verse 15, and will bring thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put up for his pillows and set them up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of it Bethel, that place Bethel. For the name of that place was called Luz at the first. Amen, and we trust the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. As I said to you at the beginning, Jacob is running from a situation. I was reading through this story in the past few weeks, and you know the story yourself. But it struck me that up until this point, Jacob never had an experience of God. He was brought up into the patriarchal family. But we read nothing of nowhere of where Jacob has encountered God to this point. To him, God was something that he learned from his mother and his father. And he knew that the blessing that he strove for, that he deceived his father from, he knew that there was something about God that was of great purpose and blessing. But he didn't know God. hadn't met him. And it was this experience, as I said, that changed, that altered Jacob and let him know that God was with him through his worst nightmare. And it was actually his greatest opportunity for God to move in his life. Notice a few things from verse 11 before we get into the message. He's in a dark place. It's gone and it's night time. The Bible very clearly says about Judas, he went out and it was night. And the Bible talks about night time and the darkness. It always can be drawn the parallel of spiritual darkness. There's no hope, there's no direction in life. We all know the story. He's running for his life and there's a threat of death upon him. And he just doesn't know what way to turn. He's never been out from his home. He's never been in a situation where he's all alone. And it's dark. Doesn't know what way to turn. Can't see any sense in the situation in which he finds himself. And the Bible also makes it very clear that he wasn't even aware or alert to who God was. It's an awful thing to be in a place of spiritual darkness. To not know what way to turn in a situation. Whether it's been the choices and decisions in the lifetime, in their lifetime in the past that has driven us to that place, or whether it is a place that we have inherited because we've all inherited our spiritual darkness. As I said this morning, when the children of Israel, if they moved before the light moved, that meant that they moved into darkness. And if the light moved and they didn't move, they were left in darkness. You see, it's where God is, there's light. And there's no darkness at all. It was a place of darkness. But not only was it a place of darkness, but it was also a desert place. I mean, there's nothing but stones for his pillow. I mean, there's nothing there to encourage or enhance, to inspire. There's nothing. It's a desert place. How helpless and how hopeless he must have felt. It's a desert place. Maybe you're in that desert place. You just don't seem to be able to get help in the circumstance in which you find yourself. You've tried many things and anything, and nothing's working. And then it was a desperate place, as I've already said. He was under the condemnation of death. We could draw that parallel to those who are out of Christ, couldn't we? Or we could also draw that parallel to those who have lost out with God. If you're running away from God, dear friend, I hope it's a race that you never win. Because God wants to meet with you and transform your circumstance. Whenever Esther and I first landed in Macherfeld, we were doing a little mission in a place called Dunamunny. One of the first houses that we visited was only about a half a mile from the place where we were having a mission. And we were up this lane and met this fellow called David. David says, I've been away from the Lord for 20 years. He says, and I'm running from God. I'm afraid of meeting him. And I says, you know, you can run away from me and you can run away from the preacher. You can run away from church and you can run away from circumstances. But you can never run away from God, because one day you will meet him. One day, if you don't run to him, he will run into you. If you're running away from a situation, can I advise you, stand up and face it. Deal with it. Because one day that situation will catch up with you. And so, for the purpose of our gathering tonight, I want us to look at this story. And especially Jacob's dream. Because after all, that's what this was. It was a dream. Notice the significance of Jacob's dream. You know, the Bible speaks of many ways in which God speaks to us. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to Joshua via an army commander. He spoke to Balaam via a donkey. But predominantly, God speaks to people, according to the Old Testament, through dreams. Nebuchadnezzar had two dreams that God spoke to him through. Belshazzar had a dream that God spoke to him through. Pilate, Pilate's wife, Gideon, Joseph, Samuel, and a host of others, God spoke to them through dreams. I suggest to you that it was a miracle that Jacob was dreaming at all. Because after all, he had stones as pillows. We've got the plushest and the softest of pillows, and yet we don't manage to get to sleep. But he's sleeping now. And I would say that God had brought him into a sleep where he could speak to him. God graciously speaks to him, and not only did God see his need, but God showed him a way to deal with his fears, to deal with his fate, to deal with his fretting, and to deal with his fright. Jacob neither sense nor wisdom before this to seek the Lord. So God came seeking him. A young man said to a young lady, "Last night I had a dream, and I dreamed that I proposed to you, darling." "What do you think this means?" he said to her. The young lady replied, "I think it means you have more sense when you're asleep than when you're awake." Jacob never thought of seeking the Lord with his circumstance until he fell asleep. That's just like Jacob, isn't it? He's on the run. He's not alert or not aware of God. Doesn't even think of giving into the Lord's hand. And God comes to him. I want you to notice the significance of this dream. It wasn't until I looked to the Hebrew word for ladder in this passage that they began to open up to me. You see, the word for ladder in Genesis 28 is only used here. The Hebrew word that's used here in Genesis 28 is not used anywhere else in the Bible, because it's very special. The Hebrew word, for those of you who are writing down, I don't see anybody writing, but if in case that you are, the Hebrew word for ladder here is sulam, S-U-L-L-A-M. Oh, maybe there's one or two writing. And it is, there's three Hebrew letters used to spell that word. Samech, Lamed, and Mem. And here's where it gets special. The word Samech, Hebrew letter that's included in this word, has a picture meaning supporting or assistance, or someone who will give assistance in difficult circumstances. Samech. The other Hebrew word is Lamed. It's a picture of a staff. And it means someone having authority or the voice of authority. Someone who's able to command control in circumstances and in situations. And the third word, mem, means or is a picture of liquid or living waters of the Word of God. This pictograph indicates someone being supported by this amazing ladder. And these are the angels that brought the message of blessing to Jacob, that God is always near. Sulam represents the instrument that gave the refreshing message to Jacob. And then when we get to John chapter 1 and verse 15, we see that Jesus identifies as this ladder. That he was the means, he was the mode, he was the method by which God brings the blessing, that God speaks authority into our circumstances, where God brings that living water that enables us in the situation to deal with it, to inspire us, to feed us, to quench us, and to instruct us and guide us and direct us through the circumstance. Jacob ran into Jesus in his dream. In his dream. Sulam is therefore the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not only point the way to the Father, he is the way to the Father. And he is the way through him to the Father to receive the blessings and promises of God. Jacob encountered the messengers of God who brought him the message of Jesus. Someone who would support him. Someone who would bring him refreshing. Someone who could bring light into his darkness. Someone who could speak with authority and overrule in the circumstances in which he found himself. Someone who would bring help to him in his weakness and comfort him in his loneliness. What a word for us today. What a word. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, what a word for those who have been trying to face up to their addictions, to their attitude, and have been trying to suppress their desires and never been able to. If you run into Him, if you lean on Him, if you receive from Him, if you respond to Him, He will be the voice of authority in the situation in which you find yourself. That's the significance of Jacob's ladder. We used to sing a song, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." I'm not so fond of that song anymore because we don't climb one over Jesus. He is that means, that mechanism, that authority, that supplying, that embracing, that encouraging, that inspiring individual who's connects us between heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But let's look more specifically at this ladder and its location. Notice the specifics of Jacob's dream. Notice its reach from verse 12. It reached in verse 12, we'll read it. "And he dreamed, behold, sat on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven." So it reached from earth to heaven, or you could say it reached from heaven to earth. Man has tried to reach heaven by building the Tower of Babel, but it ended in failure. They sat and wept upon the ruins of that tower and of the blunders that they committed. We see every effort that man seeks to reach God falls to the ground, and they fail to reach up to heaven. No one can build a reputation, and no one can reach a merit or standard. Jesus is the only way. Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 1, "Most assuredly I say unto you, he that does not enter by the sheepfold, into the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." This was a man who wanted, there was a man who was wanted to be the top of the ladder. He leaned his ladder at a certain wall, and he discovered when he got to the top of the ladder, he was leaning against the wrong wall. A lot of people try to climb up the ladder of ambition, reputation, success. The only way that we'll reach heaven is through Christ. The reach of the ladder reaches from earth to heaven. Notice the resources of the ladder. You'll find that in verse 13. It says in verse 13, "And behold, the ladder stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Jacob. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give, to thee and to thy seed." Our mighty God is superintending over this ladder, ensuring that his blessings would be conveyed into our lives through Christ. That would sum up what the angels were doing. Hebrews 1 and 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation?" Jacob is a wonderful illustration of the promise that we find in Hebrews 1:14. God sends his resources to us by means of the ladder. All that I have, superintending in my life, bringing the blessing of encouragement and inspiration, bringing me guidance through and light into my darkness. No angel comes to us from God except he comes down this ladder. Notice the riches of the ladder, verses 13 to 15. Verse 13 and 14, we have the promises of God. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, "For all the promises of God in him and are yes and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." Everything God has promised us comes through Christ. The promises of God are in this ladder. Everything we want, everything God has promised is in Christ. He is all I need. He is all I need. He is all I need. Notice the promises of God. Notice the presence of God is in this ladder. Verse 15, you'll find it there. It says, "And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee." I was reading, as I said to you earlier on, these accounts over this past couple of weeks, and interesting, whenever Jacob left on the run for his life, Esau having threatened him, whenever he decided he was going to return, God met with Esau and softened his heart. And Esau testified to Jacob and said, God has told me not to touch you, not to lay a hand on you. Even whenever Jacob was under his father-in-law's hand, God cared for him again and again and again. The presence of God. I am with you. I am with you. I wonder, could we grab hold of that thought through the circumstances, the difficulties that we face in life? I wonder, could we grab hold of the fact that God, the I Am, is with us? The great I Am, superintending, as we've been thinking over the scriptures in these recent days, the sovereign God superintending in every situation in life, if we can just bring it to Him. The presence of God. But notice very quickly, there was the protection of God in this ladder. God it is that fights for you. You shall not need to fight in this battle, he said to one of the kings of Judah. In Genesis chapter 28, God presents the covenant of grace to Jacob. The same covenant that he'd given to Isaac and that he'd made to Abraham. And that's why I said to you that Jacob met Christ, that he is the fulfillment of all the covenants that God has. It's not as if we happen to go through this covenant clause by clause and find every little tattle and detail, because Christ is the fulfillment of everything, the protection of God. For the child of God fleeing from some situation or avoiding some issue, God says the exact same thing to you. Don't try to go through it with your own ingenuity or your own intellect or own ability. God says, come to Him and give it to Him. So we don't only have the significance and the specifics, we also have the stimuli of this, of Jacob's dream. On this night, Jacob came to know God as his Savior. Jacob knew about God, but now we have come, and he has come to salvation through this ladder to God. Notice in verse 16, and I've already intimated, there's a consciousness of God now in verse 16. What a change. And Jacob waked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I knew it not. Before he placed his head on those stony pillows, he yawned in the face of God and went to sleep. Not aware of God. Not conscious that God was superintending over his situation. You know, the first place that you and I will come to when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, we will come to an awareness of God. People say to me, you know, how do I stop this and how do I start that and how do I do this and how do I do that? When you've got a consciousness of God, an awareness of God in your life, because that's what really happens, there's an awareness of God. There'll be a guidance, a direction, there'll be an inspiration, there'll be a sense of belonging, and there'll be a sense of accountability and obligation and responsibility when God comes into your life. There's a consciousness of God. And by the way, I want to add this. Just because I got saved 40 years ago, it doesn't mean to say that God doesn't come to me again and again and again. And I have a new and renewed awareness of God in circumstances. A consciousness of God. Every time you and I are presented with the truth, we are presented with something of God. And awareness of His word in our hearts. Here's what Romans 8:10-8 says. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Notice there was a conversion by God. Verses 18 to 21. We see it here. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon it. And he called on the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. That's the miracle of the new birth. Though we don't go seeking for Him, He comes seeking for us. Jacob was cognizant of God. He even feared and trembled in the presence of God. But that wasn't enough. You see that city called Luz. It means separation. Luz means separation. When Jacob first came there, he was separated from God. He was distanced from his God. But now he calls it Bethel, the house of God. That howling wilderness has now become for Jacob the very house of God. What an incredible transformation for Jacob. This is now the place of fellowship with God. It is now the place of communion with God. And Jacob said, since God would do that for me, let's read the rest of those verses, verse 21. And said, I come again to this place, and he says, verse 20, and Jacob said a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. I want you to realize this is not Jacob bargaining with God. That Hebrew word means, since God is going to be this kind of God to me, then I'm going to follow him. I was listening to the Gaithers singing, "Where the whole realm of nature mine." I was listening to it this afternoon. Boy, they can surely sing it, some of those great songs. Boy, you could feel your heart welling up, and you almost felt like responding to God again as they brought those great strains, "Where the whole realm of nature mine," and then they can go into a higher octave again, and I don't know, it's nearly like superhuman, but it draws out of you a response, "Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." That's what Jacob is saying. Since God has met with me and God has reaffirmed the covenant to me, he's now included the covenant to me. The covenant is now mine. He's now brought me into fellowship and communion. He's brought me through that great conduit of Christ, that ladder, that means, that method of Christ. He's brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. And since God would do that for me, I'm going to do everything from him. So here's a man. He's changed from darkness to light. He's not now any longer in fear. He's walking in faith. He's not now running for his life. He's walking with the Master. He does not now see these obstacles as being huge obstacles, but he puts up an altar to God and he pours oil upon it, and that's like a covenant that he makes with God. This is now my God. I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to allow him into every area and every avenue of my life. A conversion. And in verse 22, you see there was a commitment. This is the action of a man who knows he owes everything to God. He's not only giving to get, he's giving because he has gotten. And if you know anything about Jacob, he was always a getter, wasn't he? He was one of those individuals who lived to get, and he deceived to get. And now he's giving. The name Jacob means getter, grabber, or conniver. And now his character has begun that great transformation of change. That's what Jesus does in the life. Can I ask you, by the way, as I said earlier, this was a dream. It wasn't a literal ladder. It was a dream. And God spoke to him through this dream. Do you have your Bethel? Have you a place where you communicate with God, where God transforms you? Maybe some have forgotten and neglected their Bethel. Perhaps some have drifted away. The easiest thing to do today is to come now, come as you are, come immediately, before you're like Jacob, drifting in the wilderness. Come humbly, come honestly, come reverently, come immediately. And let Christ re-establish those broken strains of communication with him. And it just might be it just might be that as you are on the run from some situation that you haven't been able to face, perhaps tonight God is bringing you to that place where you will have that revelation of the Saviour. And through him will come all the blessings of God and re-establish that life in you that you once knew, to the glory of our great Saviour. Let's bow together in prayer. Study this great vision that Jacob had for yourself. Look at it through new eyes and put your name there. Realize that God is wanting to do something new in your heart. Lord, we thank you for these glimpses in your word of the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he's the commander of our salvation. He initiates the blessings. He communicates, he connects us with the Father. He's that conduit, that method, that means whereby we receive all that the Father has for us. We thank you that the Father says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Also the Father says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We thank you, Lord, that you bring us to situations where, Lord, you want to meet with us. And there are times, Lord, when we, like Jacob, come to a situation where we're not even aware of God. And yet, Lord, when we leave that situation, we know that God has brought us through it. That situation, Lord, might overwhelm us. It might be the means of sleepless nights and breaking hearts. But yet, Lord, you want to meet with us at the very point of our need. Tonight, Lord, we pray, some dear soul will tenderly kneel down at your feet and there see Jesus. Put your hand in the hand of the Saviour that he might lead us out of that place of despair and misery. Thank you for these great truths in your word. And we would ask tonight, Lord, that some soul will find new life, new light, and a new liberty in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The last song before we finish tonight is there a heart that's waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Amen. We'll stand and sing together this great song together. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sharon and Louise. Thank you. time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and help and comfort of the Holy Spirit be our portion throughout this incoming week. And may we see Jesus, Lord, as we seek His face in these days. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, and they're still shouting,
Amen.
Thank you so much.